Every year in the UK, thousands of baby boys have an operation where a small part of their penis is removed for religious and cultural reasons.
Literally, when the child is born, 8 days later, you circumcise it, and it's like a sort of handing on the tradition.
It's always been done in the community, therefore it's a tradition that continues.
Male circumcision is one of the most common surgical procedures in the world, but in Britain, it's also becoming one of the most controversial.
I think it's unspeakably not okay to do that to a baby.
It was done badly. I've had to see plastic surgeons try and sort it out.
Its opponents say it is unnecessary and can cause children to suffer.
The case against mutilating children's genitals is just overwhelming.
But for the parents who do it, it's an act of faith.
This is what we did for our older boy, and we're completely happy with it.
It's what we've always done.
I've been circumcised, I didn't have a choice. Was that wrong? Should we keep circumcising people?
I'm Adnan Sarwar. I'm a journalist, I'm from a Muslim background, and I was circumcised as an infant. With several European countries debating a ban on the practice, I want to find out, is it something we should consider banning here?
A cut too far. Male circumcision. The East London Mosque.
I'm beginning my journey at an Islamic circumcision centre in London. I've never witnessed a circumcision before, so I'm here to see one with my own eyes.
I grew up as a Muslim, and I was circumcised, and this is exactly the kind of thing that would have happened to me. Imagine getting to see what happened to you when you were born.
This service is based in the East London Mosque, where around 80% of their clients are Muslims, but anyone can come here for the operation. It's run by a consultant surgeon, Dr. Mohammed Howlader. He's a Muslim and he has run this centre since 2014. It carries out thousands of circumcisions every year.
Hello,
how are you doing? You're right.
Yeah,
how
Mohammed,
you doing? Mohammed, how are you doing? Good to meet you.
Good to meet you as well.
So why did you start doing it?
Because I used to see lots of people with the complications, not done in a regulated way, not by the experienced people. So I thought if I can provide a better service for the community and the people, better for the children, and that was the incentive for me to come into the practice.
What is circumcision?
Circumcision is essentially taking the foreskin, which covered the glands, the head, to take that off. We trim it up so that it looks better looking and it, easy to take care, look after it after the procedure.
Does the baby feel pain at all?
It's only from 10-second injection pain, that's it.
You can't get circumcised on the NHS in England, Wales and Northern Ireland, so parents here have to pay £120 for the procedure.
How are you feeling as a dad and how are you feeling as a mum bringing your kid here?
It is a bit stressful, but the cutting up bit itself is pain-free. This is what the doctor said. This is our religious custom and this is what we did for our older boy.
Okay.
And we're completely happy with it.
Naturally, there is concern.
Yeah.
As a parent, you will have to make a balance between what you believe ultimately is going to benefit the child, and that's why I would lean towards more the medical side of it, because from the research I've read, clearly indicates there is an element of positivity in terms of cleanliness.
I've been invited in by a family to see their son being circumcised. Anton is 3 weeks old. His mum, Fumi, is from Nigeria, and she's a Christian.
Why are you getting Anton circumcised?
It's been done in our family, from extended family to every boy in our family has got it done. So usually I ask my mum, why is it done? Said religious-wise, traditionally, you know, it's what we've always done.
This is naturally a slightly anxious moment for mum, but also for me.
Grandmother, who's going to hold the leg?
I'll hold the leg.
They go on the left side, please. And mother, come here, please.
The operation begins with an injection of a local anaesthetic into Anton's groin.
So let him go, grandmother. Put the gentle tapping on the chest, like this. Give the milk. Mother, come closer, please. That's all about. So pain gone. No more pain, okay?
Okay.
The procedure involves slipping a ring under the foreskin. A plastic cap is then put on the head of the penis to protect it before the foreskin is cut away.
The surgeon carries out the procedure using surgical scissors. The baby's mum's looking away at this point.
It looks painful, but the anaesthetic seems to be working.
You all right? I give the baby back to you.
The whole procedure takes about 5 minutes.
What's the recovery period?
It could be, it varies from age to age. So if it's a few weeks old or week old, they usually take 3 to 5 days to recover.
Three to five days?
Yeah, when they grow older and the recovery goes to 2-3 weeks. It cannot never be complications free. But with the plastic ring system, with the modern technique, complications are very rare indeed.
What are the perceived health benefits of circumcision?
Under the foreskin, there's a lots of darts gets connected, and there's a perceived benefit is that it prevents the infection. So people get the wrong conception that circumcision is very brutal. You have to hold it down and, chop it off. You know, the people will be screaming, the pain, blood everywhere. That's where the lots of nervousness and opposition comes. On the top of the some of the opposition, they come, why do we need to remove the foreskin, which is already there? That's their belief. You know, if you don't believe the surgical, all the surgical scientific studies have been published, that's personal choice. You know, it should be people and the parental choice, because parents often have the best interest of the children in their heart.
I'm happy now.
You're happy?
It's over.
Yeah.
Because in my tradition,
yeah,
if you are not circumcised, it's like you are not, you are an outcast. Mm. You're not a man, or your parents are not caring enough. They don't care about you, so they didn't do it, and you're just nobody.
How did you feel when you watched it as well?
I watched it.
Yeah.
In the beginning, I was okay. It was the they chopped a little part of the top off.
Yeah, I saw you do that.
I was like, oh no.
Well,
he's not feeling it, so I was just thinking. But it wasn't as bad. It was quick. He didn't feel the pain, which is good.
It's a little baby being cut with a knife. If I had a kid, that's the question that's been running through my mind about it, is if I had a kid, would I
do that?
And I don't know. I really don't know. I'm conflicted about it. But I meant to say, as a Muslim, I'd absolutely do it. I have a Muslim background, but I want to use logic and reason. So before circumcising my child, I'd want to know for sure that it was in his best interest.
There's evidence from several trials carried out in Africa that circumcised men have a lower risk of acquiring HIV from infected women. This is on the NHS website. I did not know that. 3/4 of American adult men are circumcised. 3/4! Circumcision was promoted as a way of discouraging masturbation in the past, and it was regarded as clean and hygienic.
What is astonishing to me is that there are no statistics on how many circumcisions take place. And it is a completely unregulated procedure.
A mother has been left sickened by a decision not to prosecute the doctor who circumcised her son without her consent. A Muslim father has failed to persuade a judge to rule his sons should be circumcised. There are groups that want it banned. 62% of people in the UK want it banned. This is bigger than I thought. And I'm circumcised. The reason this is bigger than I thought is because nobody talks about it. But here, you just Google it and there are cases coming up and up and up that people don't want their kids to be circumcised and people don't want it to be done without their consent. And some people just don't want it done. If the majority of the people in the UK want it banned, but it is a religious and cultural practice for people living in the UK, the Muslim community, the Jewish community, African Christian communities, and those are all populations who have discrimination. This is going to be a fight.
A road sign for Aldwych, then Adnan's outside the Royal Courts of Justice.
The battle over whether to circumcise or not has already been taken to the courts by parents fighting over the issue. I'm here to see a barrister involved in one of the cases to see what the law has to say about it.
Hello, Adnan.
Hey,
how are you?
Nice to meet you,
yes. How are you?
I'm very good. You've got your wig.
What a nice place to meet.
Yeah, you know, it's beautiful.
James Chegwardine recently won a court case on behalf of a mother trying to stop her son's father from having him circumcised. Where is the law right now in Britain on circumcision, or on male cutting?
The law says any interference on a person's body without their consent is an assault. The law says that parents can only consent to surgical operations that are in the best interests of the child. And yet in practice, thousands and thousands of children, of male infants, are being circumcised. It's not surprising that more and more people think that that is anomalous and, frankly, unacceptable. So in our society, we've somehow got it the wrong way round on this issue. In most issues, we give children more rights. But in this case, we reverse it. We give the young child, who is more vulnerable, less rights than we than everybody gives to the adult, and that just doesn't make sense. To take any other example in our society, the best example is, for example, tattooing. You don't know when the child's a baby whether they're going to like tattoos or not tattoos, and so as a result, the law says very clearly, and there's an Act of Parliament to say so, that it is illegal to tattoo minors, whether they want it to be tattooed or not. What I find bizarre is that we allow a much more substantial interference with a person's body, namely the cutting of their genitals, for no therapeutic reason, without the issue of the child's consent even being a problem. There are more parents who are questioning the practice of genital cutting for boys and who are strongly enough committed to their point of view to be prepared to take it to court. The fact that on each occasion circumcision has been deferred is quite significant in my view.
While James thinks it's a legal anomaly, the fact is that circumcision is legal because it's not treated as bad parenting. To work out what I think, I need to decide what's more important, a child's rights or a parent's rights to express their religious beliefs. I want to start by looking at my own experience. Like every boy who was circumcised, I didn't have a choice, and I'm not sure that's a good thing.
I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know that I was different at all until we went to school and there was a bunch of Muslim kids and a bunch of white English kids in Burnley. We were growing up, and you do pee and you go in the showers and you just go, I'm different. So that was like the first time I was circumcised, because it's the religion. But where's it from? Why do Muslims circumcise their kids?
To find out why, I'm heading back to my hometown Burnley. It's home to a small Pakistani community which increasingly feels under attack.
How you doing, man?
Like,
you're right.
I know you're trying to avoid us, but we want to make sure we get on film.
No, I'm filming, okay.
What are you filming? What's going on? Are you okay?
Yeah, we are. We're good. We're talking about circumcision.
Circumcision?
Yeah.
That brings back bad memories.
Bad memories?
Yeah.
Why?
They took about a foot off me. Take care. Nice to meet you all.
Most Muslim men don't give the fact that they have been circumcised a second thought. But I do, and I've come here to see what my parents have to say about it.
Hello, hello, hello.
My dad Mohammed and mum Anwar have lived in this house after we moved here from Holland, where I was born. Like many other Muslims in this community, they mainly speak Punjabi.
Where did you do ours? We were born in Holland. Adnan's mum says, the doctors did it. We did yours within a month. I was sat outside. Mum does get sad, but when they brought you out, you were fine. His dad adds, the doctors know you'll feel something. Mums are mums. They know they can't watch. Their way is the best way. It takes 2 minutes.
But there is something else on my mind regarding this subject that I feel I need to ask my dad about.
I'm wondering, if I had a kid, what would I do? His dad replies, because we're Muslims, this is a must. Because it's an order from Allah, peace be upon him. We have to do it because whatever Allah, peace be upon him, has ordered, is the best. In it are so many benefits and no bad things. So if I had a kid and I don't cut him, then what would you think about my kid? Oh, then I would think that you didn't do the right thing. It's not the right thing. Because Allah, peace be upon him, is for all of us. The world he's built, he says it's for his whole family. So if he's saying all his family have to do this, and there's those who say they don't want to, they're giving a negative answer to Allah, peace be upon him.
He's got a very definite answer on it, and that comes from experience, doesn't it? Chal, Khudafis. He's had his kids circumcised, he's been circumcised. That's the level of thinking that he's done about it. They did it for belonging, they did it for religion, they did it for culture, they did it for who they are. They did it for who they are, and they wanted to pass who they are down to me, you know? And they wanted that line to continue.
But ultimately, I was circumcised because my parents believe it was what God commanded. I want to find out why the practice is considered so important in Islam, so I've come to a local mosque. Islam is the second biggest religion in the UK, and most Muslim boys are circumcised, making it the largest group in Britain who perform this ritual. The imam here, Salim Siddat, is a well-known Islamic scholar, and he's agreed to speak to me.
Why do Muslims get circumcised?
So Islam, like other Abrahamic faiths, such as Judaism and Christianity, grants a special status to Abraham. And as a result of granting a special status to Abraham, the practices that he engaged in hold a unique value and respect within the Muslim faith. And therefore, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, emphasized one such Abrahamic practice, which was male circumcision.
Abraham is revered as a prophet in Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. In the book of Genesis, Abraham is told by God to circumcise himself and his male children. The Prophet Muhammad is reported by his followers to have told Muslims to do the same. But the practice isn't mentioned in the Quran, Islam's holy book.
Do you have to do it in Islam?
It's considered to be a shi'ar, or a religious symbol of the faith. So it does have that kind of importance attached to it.
It's important, but it's not compulsory.
The question about whether it's compulsory or not is academic, because it's considered a shi'ar, a religious symbol. Therefore, the importance that is attached to it is such that you can't overlook it. Cleanliness is understood to be half of one's faith in Islam. Male circumcision is understood to be something that enhances personal hygiene. And therefore, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, encourages his followers to also engage in that practice of male circumcision. So the practice holds value in the faith, and that's the norm that the community has in relation to male circumcision. But that doesn't mean that one would not be a Muslim if one didn't engage with it. So the two things are separate.
It does surprise me that, like the imam said, there's nothing in the Quran saying that you had to get it done. That it's a religious practice that you follow because you respect the Prophet Abraham so much. So that does surprise me. It does surprise me that there's something there that's not compulsory, that people do anyway. And that's society, isn't it? Why do people do things that that they don't need to do? Which makes me think, have they thought about it? Have people actually thought, well, I don't need to get this done? Because, you know, with what he said, you can actually give people the option. Knowing that in Islam, you don't have to be circumcised to be considered a part of the religion makes me wonder if this is also the case in Judaism, the other faith that practices circumcision. So I've come here to a synagogue in Maidenhead to find out more.
This is like an army camp.
Security cameras and gates.
What's your name?
Alon.
Alon.
Nice to meet you.
Lovely to meet you. Hi. Hello, how are you doing?
Good.
How are you doing? Adnan. What's your name?
Russ.
Russ. Yeah. Good to meet you, Russ.
Dr. Jonathan Romain, MBE, is a rabbi and a leading Jewish scholar.
And how'd you put it on?
Just put it on. Yeah.
Skull cap.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It's not going to fall off, is it?
Yeah, if you put it a bit more front, then it might fall off less.
Okay.
Dr. Romain has allowed me to observe Friday prayers, something I never thought I would get the chance to do. The faith I come from is often characterised as being at odds with Judaism, but circumcision shows we have more in common than many realise.
Adonai Panavilecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May God turn his favour to you and grant you peace. Good Shabbos. Shabbat shalom.
Unlike Islam, it turns out that circumcision is mentioned in the Jewish holy book, the Torah.
And it's the five books of Moses. What we're in is the book of Genesis. There are lots of Jewish commands, there's 613 in all, and circumcision is one of the very first, and it actually goes right back to the beginning of the Bible, Genesis and Abraham. And it says, "And God said to Abraham, this shall be a covenant between you and me, and not just you, but also the generations that come after you, that you shall circumcise your sons when they are 8 days old, and that shall be a covenant between you and me."
So it's an absolute rule for Jews?
Yep, right from the word go. I mean, of course, it's developed in a sense, its significance is it's now a mark of identity, not just for the child, but even more so for the parents. A sort of, literally, when the child is born, 8 days later, you circumcise it, and it's like a sort of handing on the tradition, keeping the faith going, making sure that the next generation is going to be Jewish too.
Why do you think it's 8 days?
By 8 days old, the blood system is sufficiently developed so the blood clots, so when there's a cut, the wound heals. But also the nervous system is not so developed. So, of course, the baby does feel something, but whereas you and I as adults think of circumcision as like major ouch, for them, they really don't feel that much.
How is circumcision usually done in Judaism?
It's always done by an expert, in other words, a trained moel, as they're called. In the Jewish faith, all the people we use are highly qualified. In fact, normally they're doctors anyway, so they're medically qualified to begin with. They then have to do a two-year training course, but usually it's done at home, very much with family, with friends. It's a celebration, it's a good thing. And if you're invited to a circumcision, it's like, oh, great honour and a great pleasure, and people go along. And the actual operation takes literally about 20 seconds flat. I mean, it really does. And then people chat and talk and eat and drink and laugh, and the child has been sort of inducted, if you like, into the Jewish faith.
For the Jewish religion, the act is a deeply sacred covenant that sits at the heart of the faith. But for Lauren, a Jewish mother, who circumcised her son Theo, the choice wasn't a simple one.
How does it feel for you as a mother to have him circumcised?
It was by no means a given that we were going to do it because I'm Jewish and my family is Jewish. I took a lot of time to make a decision about whether or not it was something that I felt we should do.
How was his circumcision?
So I wasn't actually in the room for it.
Okay, I was going to ask you that, okay.
Yes, it's a very hard thing to put your child in a situation where you know they're going to feel pain or discomfort. And I felt more comfortable actually being... I was only in the next room. The only part that was difficult for him was actually when he was given the anaesthetic, it was an injection. So he did cry and I cried. But after that, he was perfectly calm, perfectly happy. It's about welcoming him to the Jewish faith. It's about welcoming him to the family. I don't feel like it was something that we had to do to make Theo Jewish, but it is a tradition, it is a custom in our faith, and we are a small community, probably smaller than a lot of people realise, and I think continuing certain traditions and customs is important.
How would you feel if, say, in the UK it was banned?
I wouldn't risk any prosecution or legal action for doing it, but I think it's if it's a parental right to choose everywhere except the UK, then I would perhaps exercise that right somewhere else.
The vast majority of people in both the Jewish and Islamic faiths support circumcision, but there are a few people who are fighting against it.
Hello.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good afternoon.
How are you doing? Adnan.
Fine, thank you. Good to meet you. Hi, come through.
Dr. Jenny Goodman is a psychotherapist and Jewish feminist who has been challenging circumcision for over 30 years within the Jewish community.
Circumcision is a feminist issue. It isn't only about children's rights. It's about the rights of the mother who's just given birth. Women having their brand new baby, 8 days old, whatever, taken into another room to have part of his body cut off, are profoundly disempowered. When they are made to choose between their maternal instincts, which are all clamouring to say, I want to protect my baby, I want to hold him and love him, keep him close, not let any harm come to him. And on the other hand, the voice of the tribe, which is bigger than the individual, saying, nope, this is a sacred ancient ritual, you have to hand the boy over to the men to be circumcised. And the command in the Torah is to the father to circumcise his son. You know, as a Jewish woman, my identity isn't dependent on any kind of bodily marking or scarring.
21 years ago, Jenny decided not to circumcise her son, Yossi.
Everyone got for you, Jack. He's stuck in.
You can't underestimate the hold it has on people's psyche. Yeah. It's very deep, and you feel that you are the one to break the chain. You know, you're going against 3,000 years of tradition. And it's almost a standard joke in the Jewish community when a woman is pregnant, oh, are you praying for a girl? Which is actually a tacit acknowledgement that it is traumatic to have a boy circumcised for the mother and for the child. Now, lots of young parents are starting to say, actually, I'm not going to do it. None of their children have been cast out. All of their children are still Jewish, both in Jewish law, halachically, because they're the child of a Jewish mother, and in practice. I actually think it will be an incredibly positive thing for the Jewish world when we start to let go of this tradition, because it's not essential. We've all been indoctrinated that it's crucial. It isn't.
Okay.
What's your opinion of circumcision?
I think it's unspeakably not okay to do that to a baby. If you did that to a grown man on the street, you would be arrested quicker than you could say anything, and it should be the same with a child. I'm glad I'm not circumcised. I couldn't say how I'd feel if I had been, because I haven't been, but I'm very glad I'm not. I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything from having not had that done to me. And also, circumcision, it's cutting the foreskin off the penis. I know we're eating lunch, but the word circumcision kind of, like, clouds it. It's not, like, it's cutting the end of your knob off, like. But it's because it's indented in our culture from through history and how long religion's been there, and people are very afraid to go against religion, especially if you've been brought up like that.
Yeah. What would be your solution? Would it be completely, like, ban it from kids and then defer it, or...?
I'm not arguing for a legal ban, because the law is a very blunt instrument. This change has to come from within the community. You know, anti-Semites and Islamophobes are going to jump on that bandwagon if it gets into British law. And this is what's happened in some of the Nordic countries. And it will carry on. It will absolutely not work. It'll be much more dangerous because it will be secret. And it will make the community feel so attacked and so beleaguered. I think we need to study our literature, our philosophy, our history. We need to learn our songs and our dances and our recipes and our jokes and pass all that on to our children. And that's rich enough. That's enough to keep us going as a people for the next few thousand years without hurting our baby boys.
I understand where Jenny is coming from, but I don't feel I have been harmed in any way by being circumcised. But there are some people who have. I've come to Stone, a picturesque town in Staffordshire, home to a charity that supports men struggling to cope with the effects of their circumcision. 15 Square says it has around 200 members, and they get about 6 inquiries a week from men who say they have suffered as a result of being circumcised.
Well, I wanted to be intact, you know, that was, and that was taken away from me, that, you know, right to a complete body.
I just think there's a feeling of inadequacy, and just how many people do you want to know that you're inadequate?
Many of the men here were circumcised at a time when the procedure was considered healthier than leaving the foreskin uncut. Most say they are suffering psychologically from it.
At some level, people who've been damaged in this way, you kind of know something bad's happened. I mean, that's certainly my experience, and it's my belief. But it might be overwhelming to start dealing with it.
A young man has asked to share his story with me anonymously. His parents are Jewish and had him circumcised as a baby.
It was done badly. I've had to see plastic surgeons, try and sort it out, which I'm still doing. I feel socially awkward in certain situations. I have hard scar tissue and it's uncomfortable and painful. It's uneven, it doesn't look nice either, compared to other people who were left to have their own bodies intact. Why parents would pay someone to damage their newborn child is, I can't get my head around. 7-8 years, I wouldn't speak to my parents.
Seriously?
And I'm still not comfortable with them. I've contemplated suicide, various things. It's a very personal issue. And it's the most intimate part of someone's body, which makes it even worse that someone else has interfered with it. No one should do anything to anyone else's body without their consent, full stop. Religious or not religious.
I didn't know about this at all. It's really opened my eyes. People think about taking their lives. That's how serious this is.
Adnan looks thoughtful. Then, he's at the wheel.
As circumcisions aren't regulated, there are no official figures on how many people are harmed by circumcisions. But hearing the trauma of those men has really made me question the basis for any circumcisions. I've come back to the synagogue to speak to Rabbi Romain.
Hey, how you doing? You're right.
Hello, good to see you again.
Really good to see you again.
How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm very good, very good. How are you doing?
Let's go inside.
I met a young Jewish boy who had problems with his circumcision. It was done badly and he'd had to have plastic surgery. And he was traumatised. He was really traumatised. The way he was describing his parents he wasn't saying my parents, he was saying these people who had this thing done to me. And I was really shocked by this. I was just wondering, how do we stop that kind of thing happening?
Gosh, well, that's awful. But I must tell you, I've never heard of that. I'm sure it's true, but it's extraordinarily rare. I mean, the whole point is that the circumcisers are really, really strictly trained, just like if they were doing any operation in any hospital. But I must say, that's not necessarily true of all faiths, and I think they're really... I would like to call for a sort of reforms in circumcision, whereby anybody who does circumcision, whether they're Jewish or Muslim or any other faith group, they should be properly trained and qualified. In fact, they should be regulated, and they shouldn't be allowed to practice unless they are registered with a recognised authority, and there should be an annual audit so as to monitor what's been happening and to ensure there really are the highest standards.
So you think there should absolutely be regulation in circumcision?
Yes, no doubt about it at all, because we have a responsibility to the children. Although I have to tell you like any parent, I am nuts about my children's health. Mm. I've got four boys. I wouldn't have dreamt of having them circumcised if I thought I was going to do them any harm, whether it was physically, emotionally, mentally. I'm telling you this not as a rabbi, but as a sort of hands-on dad.
What would you say? Where do you draw the line? How many harms is too many harms?
Look, it's awful just for one to happen. But I can honestly tell you it's extraordinarily rare. And I don't know that if it's one a year or once every sort of 10 years that such a case happens. Something went wrong. Frankly, it doesn't normally go wrong. Otherwise, we would reform it, we would jettison it, we would abandon it. We wouldn't do anything that was going to endanger the health of the children, their physical, mental or emotional health. It wouldn't be worth it. And the only reason we do it is because virtually all the time it goes fine.
What would you say to people who say it's barbaric and it's an act that's from history and you should stop doing it?
If it harmed the child, and you know, I've seen so many circumcisions, other people's children, long before I had children, and if I thought, oh my God, I'm not going to do that to my son, I wouldn't have. Because there are plenty of things in the Bible that we don't do now because we think it's no longer appropriate. If we didn't think circumcision was appropriate, it would have stopped. We'd have said, thank you, it was appropriate from a different age, but no longer today. But for me, it's a meaningful, and I have to say, hygienic ritual that still has value in the 21st century.
What would you say to young Jewish parents today who just said that's just not something we want to do?
Well, that's their choice. I mean, there really isn't any obligation, and I as a rabbi can't or wag my finger and say, thou shalt. All I can do is say, look, this is a powerful tradition. This is why it's been done up to now. I can say this is why I thought it was important for me to pass it on to my children, but if you don't, then that's your choice.
I keep hearing about the health benefits of circumcision, such as reductions in urinary tract infections, a reduced risk of penile cancer, and even the prevention of HIV transmission. I need to get some clarity on the matter. I'm at King's College Hospital in London to meet Dr. Gordon Muir, who is one of the most foremost urologists in the UK. Dr. Muir often performs medical circumcisions, like this one, on men and older children who have medical problems with their foreskin. He also sees patients whose circumcisions have gone wrong, with many of these cases referred from overseas. I also want to get his views on circumcising babies for religious reasons.
So this is what I've heard about circumcision, is that
It just makes it safer, it's cleaner, it's more hygienic.
Circumcised boys are a bit less likely to develop urinary tract infections, but infections in young boys is very rare and it's treatable with antibiotics. There are some doctors who will make a case for circumcision as a preventive, but in the West, I cannot make an argument for that because one would need to circumcise many hundreds of boys to prevent a significant urinary tract infection. One would have to circumcise many, many boys to prevent a case of HIV. There is an increased risk of penile cancer in men who are not circumcised. But it's such a massively rare cancer, it's impossible to make an argument on a preventive basis because the number needed to treat would be in the thousands to prevent one case of penile cancer. I think the majority of men are very happy if they're circumcised as children, but there are small risks of very serious harm. Every year, babies around the world lose their whole penis, and there are deaths in the European Union, small numbers, but there are deaths every year from non-therapeutic circumcision. So while the risk is very, very small, you know, that's got to be set against the potential benefits, which, I say, are potentially there,
yeah,
but minimal. Then there's also the question of sensitivity. My personal belief, having seen many thousands of men and running a sexual clinic, is that men have better sensitivity with the foreskin still on.
But you are saying I've lost some sensation?
Probably.
Where do you think the state should sit on this? Should they ban circumcision or make sure it's delayed?
Well, again, I'm not an ethicist, but I find it difficult to understand why female genital mutilation is a criminal offence, but there's been no decision on male infant circumcision. But as a non-religious person, I don't see the difference between the two. Neither has significant health benefits in the UK. Both have loss of sensitivity, in my view, and both are unnecessary.
I imagine that many people will find Gordon's comparisons with FGM controversial. But I've come across figures that shed some more light on the harm circumcision can cause. A recent Freedom of Information request from the University of Leeds to NHS trusts across Britain revealed that between 1988 and 2014, there were around 22,000 recorded harms as a result of the practice. The vast majority were minor injuries, like a child fainting or slight bleeding, but there were rare cases of scarring and full penis amputation. Set against the high numbers of circumcisions that will have happened in that time, the report's authors conclude that the risks are low.
Traffic on a main street at dusk, then a new day, and Adnan's walking through a housing estate.
Before I finally make up my mind on this issue, I have one last thing to do. I want to catch up with Fumi and her baby son Anton, who I saw get circumcised in the East London Mosque a few weeks ago.
Have a seat.
Thank you.
Hey. He's fast asleep.
Is he? Oh, no. How was the recovery?
Recovery was not too bad. We thought he was going to be screaming the house down, but he really cried. By the following week, in 2 weeks' time, everything was okay. It wasn't too bad, so if I had another boy, I wouldn't be as anxious as I am.
Hey, big man. How are you doing?
Hello, big man.
Hello, big man.
You're a man now, aren't you? Look at you. Hey? Yeah.
No doubt that I was going to get him circumcised, but I'm happy that everything went well. No complication. It healed as it should. Even cosmetic-wise, I think it's good. It looks better.
When I started to think about it, it seemed like this very simple thing. It's just a little bit of skin cut off. It's not. This is Anton, and he is, part of your family. He is part of your culture, and he is being brought into a culture as well. That feeling is so strong that logic is important, but you can put it to one side. It's who we are as people that makes us decide what to do.
Anton has helped me make up my mind. I wouldn't want to see this practice banned.
I've been wrestling with this for months now. As soon as you ban circumcision, people will start doing it anyway because you've told them they can't do something. And secondly, it's absolutely important to them. If somebody believes circumcision is important to them and you ban it, they're going to find a way to do it. And if you say to doctors in the UK and surgeons that you can't do this to kids or we'll strike you off the list, then surgeons aren't going to do it. It's going to be unqualified people doing it. So that's a real danger that you throw up by banning it. Where is the proper accounting and recording of it? That's what we need. We should regulate circumcision, and I shouldn't get my kid circumcised. That's where I am. Yeah. And it's so difficult because, you know, you meet people who love their children, like Anton. They love their children, they do it to their children, and you can't argue with them. Nobody does anything to damage their children. Nobody does that. That's not why they do it. But and if it was overwhelmingly damaging their children, you could prove that, I bet they would just stop doing it. That's why it's so difficult. I hope we're better informed that we make better choices for our kids. Because we want to, don't we? That's what it is. It's ultimately about, isn't it? We just want to look after our kids.